are going to start a new topic that we're going to be working on for the next few weeks. And from the day of Pentecost up until now, we've been talking about walking by the Spirit and about what the Spirit does in our lives. And last week, Bob was talking about choices we make and that they make a difference when we walk by the Spirit. Well, this topic we're going to be getting into now is on the mystery. And usually when we say something about the mystery, what's the first thing that you think about? What is the mystery? The Okay. Well, we usually talk about the body, right? Like we're the body of Christ. That's a theme that we speak about over and over again. And that is one of the illustrations of the mystery, is the body. But it's only one of them. So today I'm going to actually talk about one that we don't talk about very much, and that's the temple. So you can open your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. So we're going to talk about the dwelling place of God. And don't worry, it's not going to be real religious, okay? Because I don't know about you, but when you say the word temple, doesn't that kind of give you this connotation of, you know, big rituals and service and sacrifices and priests wearing long robes and stuff like that, right? Well, I hope by the end of this sharing, you're going to understand that what God wants us to know about the mystery and how we are the temple of God is that he wants to live with us in a house. So we're going to look at some foundational verses here to begin with. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Did you know that? Okay, woo! Now, a lot of times also people, when they talk about the temple, they're talking about the person's body, or like a physical body, right? But this word you here is plural. So it's talking about you, and not just us here, but you, like the entire family of God all over the world, which is millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people. This is a big house, okay? It's a big temple. It's not a little dinky one. And we can't have our concept of it be small, okay? So that's the first point. And then the second one is that what makes it join together and what joins us together all over is, did you not know that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The word dwells just means lives. It lives in you, and 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 you. Every single one has the Spirit of God in us. So just like the body, I talk about in the body, the thing that joins the body together is love. All right? Well, in the picture of the temple, love is the same thing. It's the mortar. It's the thing that glues everybody together. So we each have the same Spirit of Christ in us, right? Christ in you. That's also plural. But what makes us stick together in the building is love. Okay? So that's like the foundation. When God uses the word temple, he's not talking about the entire building like it was in Israel, because there was an outer court that the Gentiles could come into and where they had lots of other things going on. But when he said temple, he meant the inner sanctum of the Holy of Holies. Now, that wasn't open to anybody in the temple in Israel, except for the high priest one time a year. But now it says, you are the Holy of Holies. You are that central part. You are the sanctuary. So you want to know more about what goes on in the sanctuary? Okay. You can go on and read verse 17. He who corrupts the temple of God, God will corrupt. For the temple of God is holy because you are holy. Now, when I say holy, it also has sort of a religious connotation, right? But let's substitute you are set apart or you belong to God. That's what we need to understand, is that when God says we're holy, we're set apart, but it's because, not because we're better than anybody else, right? But we're holy because He made us holy. Christ is holy, right? And He is in us. The Spirit is holy. It's Holy Spirit. That's what makes us holy. And in that holiness, we get to go into that inner sanctum. It's where we belong. Because that's where He is. He's holy. He's Spirit. He's in the sanctuary. And He gave us the privilege to walk straight into it. Remember at the time of the crucifixion, when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Some people even say that there was this big stone facing that held the curtain up, that the whole stone just broke, and that's how come the curtain split. But can you imagine? I mean, this very thick curtain didn't allow anybody to see inside. Ever, except for the high priest. And all of a sudden, it's open. It's open. Okay, keep on going. Now flip over to chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, that you received from God, and that you are not your own? Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are of God. Okay, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, it's to understand that as our physical body is made up of body, soul, and spirit, right? That's equivalent to the way God designed the temple in Israel, is that the outer court is the body. Okay, that's not the most important part. The soul is the holy place. That's where all the prayers were sent up with the incense, and the bread was there. The spirit is the holy of holies. So that's the part which God sent His only begotten Son into the world to pay the price, to purchase us so we could be there, right there. Sometimes people call or have said, you know, it's like entering into the living room of God's love. His love is there. His peace is there. His forgiveness is there. It, like what Kelly had in her manifestations, it's like God just wants to be with us. He wants us. That's where it is, right there, in the Holy of Holies, in the inner sanctuary. Okay, now go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, and what alliance has the temple of God with demons? King James says idols, right? But you, then again, this is plural, you are the temple of the what?
Living
God. It's a temple of a living God. As it is said, I will live with them, and I will walk with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. This is God's greatest heart's desire, is for us to walk with Him, to be with Him. In Hebrews, it talks about, my hand will never let go of you. It means it won't hang down and do nothing. God always holds our hand. We may not hold His. We may try to let go of it sometimes. But He never lets go of ours. He wants to walk with us, talk with us, be with us. And it's a living God who is our Father. The temple of the living God is a permanent house, right? It, you know how our physical houses, they get stuff wrong with them. And they always need repairs. They're just, it's pretty endless if you're a homeowner. You just are working on something time after time after time after time, right? Well, this house never grows old. It's always perfect. And it's permanent. You can't lose it. You can't lose your mortgage. You can't get kicked, evicted, right? It's permanent, and it's really, really fun to think about it being our house. Okay, one last verse, and then we're going to talk about something here. Ephesians 2. This is the doctrinal side of Ephesians. In chapter 4, it's talking about the body, and that's the practical side. Okay, so the temple is in chapter 2. That means it's talking about what we have and what we need to understand. Okay, verse 20. And you are built on the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the head of the corner of the building. He's actually the complete foundation of the building as well. If you want to hear, a long time ago, several years ago, I taught about Jesus Christ, the complete foundation, how he's the head of the corner, the top of the corner, and the foundation. All right, he sets the whole parameter of the building. But in him, in who? In Jesus Christ, the whole building is fit together and is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, while you also are built in him for a dwelling of God by the Spirit. Okay, the whole building, in him, in Christ, the whole building is fit together. Okay? That's actually the same word as when it talks about in the body in chapter 4, that the body is fit together. The body is perfect, right? It's easy to understand in how everybody has a place in the physical body, because you can see your physical body, right? But change your picture and now talk about a temple, a house. There's all different parts of the house, right? So there is need for everyone to have a part. In him, in Christ, we are fitted in the exact right place in the house, just like we're in the exact right place of the body. I have to tell you a story. A while ago, this was a number of years ago, I was listening to someone tell me some stuff, and they said they had a vision for me, and I respected this person, so I was eager to hear what's the vision, you know? And the person ended up saying, "I see you're in a workshop, and you're a piece of marble, and there's the workman, the sculptor is working on you, and he keeps chipping away at the sculpture. And then periodically he takes you from the workroom and he brings you into the house and tries to fit you into the house, and you don't really fit. So he brings you back into the workshop. He goes, "Don't worry, you're not going to be in the workshop forever, but there's more stuff you need to get worked out." And I was like, "Oh my goodness." I have to tell you, I was devastated, because I got the sense from what they were saying was that I didn't have a place in the house, that I just never fit, you know. And that part of it is kind of true in some ways, is that I'm different, or I have different interests. You know, how many other people in this room have studied Aramaic for 30 years? I mean, it doesn't make it bad or good. It's just that does not mean that I don't have a place in the house. And it took me a long time to get over that and to just realize that the truth is that everybody has a place. It's framed together exactly how God wants it to be. And so now look at 1 Peter chapter 2. this is how I know, and I learned kind of the hard way in some ways, that everybody has a place. There's nobody left out, not the youngest, not the oldest, not the most wealthy, and not the poorest. Everyone has a place. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. The one to whom you are drawn is the living stone that men have rejected, yet with God is chosen and honored. Who's that talking about? Who's the living stone that the builders rejected? Jesus Christ. Okay. And then verse 5. But you also, as living stones, are built up and are spiritual temples and holy priests to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable before God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. So everybody is a living stone. Isn't that cool? So you can have all different kinds and shapes and sizes of stones, and they do all sorts of different things, and they're fitted in certain ways. So I might be fitted right here right now, but, you know, it's framed together and it's growing. So if I end up like Hunter and Danielle did, moving from, you know, Hunter was in Maine and now he's clear on the other side of this country, he's still the same living stone. He just happens to fit here now. Isn't that awesome? It's like fluid all the time. That's why it says that it's growing. It's never ending. Every new believer that comes into the temple, just this very moment, has a place and is also a living stone. Okay, now, I'm going to ask you a question. If God's dwelling place, which, just change it to God's house, right? If God's house is who we are, what kinds of things do we do in a house? Hunter?
We eat.
We eat, yes! Okay, what else do we do?
Sleep
and rest. Think about that, though, for a second. Just think about the rest part. That if you are in your own house, you can rest. You can lie down, and you can get recharged, right? Think about doing that in the house of God. That's what it's supposed to be about, where we bring rest to each other. We help each other to rest. Okay, what else? Clean? Well, that's true. We have to clean. And, you know, we have to reprove each other sometimes and clean up our acts a little bit here and there, right? It's stuff we do in the house. What else do we do in the house?
Study.
I love that. Read books? Anybody like to read books? I do. I love to read books. I've always have a stack of them, you know. What else? Yes, Mike.
Invite guests.
I love that. Yes, we're hospitable. We have people over, and we can even party sometimes, right? And celebrate things. What else?
Raise children.
I love that. Yep. Teach children. Shati.
Pray.
Yes.
Fellowship.
What about, what?
Heal.
Yes. When someone has a need, we offer them to come in and say, well, we can help you, right? what do you do when you're sitting down to eat together? Do you just sit there and go? Right. You hang out and converse, right? And talk and share, right? So if you picture God as the Father, right, then all the children are gathered around, and Jesus Christ is our big brother, and we're talking to each other, right, and conversing. And we want to go ask the Father, go, well, hey, Dad, can I go swimming today? I really want to go swimming today. Or how about, like, what happened with Elizabeth and Sam this week as they finished their swimming lessons. And they were so excited to show Judy and me and Mom when we went over to Mom's house yesterday. They wanted to show how, all the things that they had learned. And it was so much fun. It was about encouraging and helping them and guiding them and teaching them a little bit more. But it was a big family affair, right? Now, change your thinking. See, this is what we're to do in the temple of God. It's not wearing long robes and being religious and praying. When I go to church, I just pray. That is one of the things we do, but it's only one of the things we do. And what I really tried to get across today is that there's lots of things to do in the house of God. And that if we really know that we're living stones and we're fitly framed in this house, then we'll just get busy doing what we do. All right. Well, keep that in mind, though. And I wanted to just look briefly back at 1 Peter. Because it was talking about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. It says that we're a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. All right. In the song that Don Moen had, he was talking about that. About the sacrifices of praise is what God wants. He wants our praise, yes, but he really wants our whole life. Offer your life to me is what he was saying in that song. But the sacrifices, I think if we just look at, like, we know that there's prayer in the house, right? And we know there's to be praise in the house. I want to read you a verse that is about prayer. Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and verse 13. This is when Jesus kicked out the money changers out of the temple. And he quotes a verse from the Old Testament, from Isaiah. And in verse 13, he said to them, "It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." So you can see that you could allow things to come into the house that were not good, right? But what we are to do is to protect the house and to make it a house of prayer, a safety, a sanctuary, right? Where those who are holy come together to minister to each other. I want to read that verse in Isaiah 56, verse 7, is where that is taken from. Isaiah 56. Because it's really wonderful. They would have would have known when he said that my house is a house of prayer, they would have known that he meant this entire verse. I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Make them what? Joyful. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Isn't that beautiful? That the purpose of having prayer in the house is to make people joyful and to have a time where your heart can get poured out. You know, I loved your prayer, Shelley. You know, it was just so heartfelt. And others too, there was heart prayers today. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want the religious stuff that's repetitive. You know what I mean? He wants our hearts. And the purpose of prayer is to bring people together, to have there be a unity developed. So it's a unity between us and God, right, and our Lord, and each other. And the more we communicate with prayers and praise with each other and to God, then the more unity there is. The more there's mortar in between the stones, see? See? It just gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. I may not have a relationship with somebody who's in China, you know, but here you are. You've come to our house, and you can come, and you come to Alan Shati's house, and you can learn to understand them by being in their house. So that's so cool. Okay, we do praise in the house. But I want to talk specifically, just briefly now, about offerings. Because if you talk about sacrifices, in the Old Testament, they brought lambs and goats and bulls and all sorts of stuff like that, right? To sacrifice in the temple. So what would be considered a sacrifice in our temple, in our house? What do you think?
Time.
Time? Okay, that's good. If you would say offering instead of sacrifice, what would you think of? Money. Food. Yes. See, there's offerings of ourselves. That's what you were talking about. And of what we have. Where we give, we share together. That's the purpose of the offerings, even in the Old Testament, was to bring them to God and to acknowledge that God was the source of all of their prosperity, but it was also so that the priest could share in the offering. The only one that the priest never shared in was the burnt offering. But all the rest of the offerings were to share. It was like to multiply it, to keep it going. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 9. I learned something this week that was really neat. There were two chests in the temple for the offerings that they put money into, right? And one of them was for the requirements of the law, which was the tithe in the Old Testament. And so there, picture one chest over here and one chest over here, right? So if I was bringing my tithe, I'd put it in this chest. Okay, this chest over here was for free will offerings. That's where the widow brought her mite, you know, that was very, very small amount. And she put it in the free will offering box, which meant that she had already fulfilled all her tithe. She gave almost all that she had into the free will offering. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 9. And verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Everyone according to what is in his mind, not from sadness or from constraint, for God loves a cheerful giver or a joyous giver. Now all grace comes by the hands of God, who causes it to increase in you, so that always, in everything, you will have what is sufficient for you and will increase in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed and given to the poor, and his justification is valid forever. You go down to verse 12. It says, because the work of this service not only supplies the needs of the holy ones or of the saints, but also increases with much thanksgiving to God. So every time we give anything, whether it's our lives, our money, our hearts, a word, encouragement, all those are offerings. We're bringing them to the house so that they can be shared as free will offerings, not out of constraint, not the law box, you know. I'm not putting my offering into the law box because it's required. It's out of our own heart's desire, and it's all free will. In the New Testament, everything is free will. So you could tithe if you want. You can do more than tithe. You can give 50% if you want. It's what's in your mind, but it's like seed. So it provides for the entire household. So you see the picture of the house where it's in order to have a house and maintain it, you have to have a provision, right? Okay, well, that's where the offerings come in. And it's about sowing bountifully, you know, or generously too. You know, if you, it says that you should give with simplicity. That means with generosity. So to not withhold our lives. If you see someone with a need, whether we're out in the street or whether we're in this building or if we're in our own houses, it's that we're willing, you know. It's a willing offering. That's what I think the sacrifices are. They're spiritual sacrifices. And they bring tremendous thanksgiving to God. That's the whole purpose of any kind of giving, is that it brings thanksgiving to God. We're thankful to begin with, so we give, and then it gets shared and multiplied, and there's seed, and it's all this great stuff, and then it ends up with more thanksgiving. All right, one last thing. Acts chapter 5. Someone had mentioned when we were talking about what we do in the house is heal, right? Or we study and we pray. And I think this verse kind of sums up another thing that we do. Chapter 5, verse 42. And they did not cease to teach every day in the temple. In the where? And at home, and to preach about our Lord Jesus Christ. They did not cease. In the temple of Israel, they had these hours of prayer, right? And that's when people came to pray. But in 1 Thessalonians, it talks about pray without ceasing. In this temple has no boundaries, right? So we can pray any time of the day or night. We can give thanks and praise and worship any time of the day or night with anyone in the whole temple, in the house. And we can also teach and preach about our Lord Jesus Christ continuously. See? They did not cease. They didn't stop preaching and teaching all the time. Every time you open your mouth, it seems like, you know, have something come out about our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the foundation of the house. He's the one who knows how it fits together. He knows how to set the boundaries of it and teach us to love, that love that's the mortar that holds us all together. So think about that this week, about living in the house of God and dwelling there and making it your own. Because there's times to get the toys out and to play on the floor with the kids. And there's times to clean your house and to encourage one another in everything that we do. So that's what I wanted to share. God bless you.